Our reading today is from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I know it seems like ages ago, but at the beginning of Lent we started looking at the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes that Jesus proclaimed in his sermon on the mountainside. And as we moved through Easter, we focused on the Lord Jesus as he gave up everything in the most excruciating way to create the means for us to be redeemed. All seemed to be lost, but he had paid the price. Justice was done, and God honoured him, restored his life, gave him unlimited power and authority. Way back in Matthew 4, 8 to 10, Jesus was offered all the power and authority on earth on condition that he worshipped Satan and grasped the authority for himself. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Get away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him alone.'" But now he has all the authority in heaven and earth as a gift from his Father. The Messiah had come into his own. And how did Jesus deploy that absolute authority? He invited his followers to meet him on a mountain in Galilee, perhaps even the same mountain where 3 years earlier he had taught them new ways of thinking, of behaving, of living. They came and worshipped him. In spite of everything he had done, everything that had happened, his crucifixion, his rising from the dead, his very presence with them, some still doubted. But Jesus accepted and included them all. Fearful, trembling, bewildered, unsure, they were there. They had made the journey, and he did not reject them. He also received and accepted their worship. Remember how he reprimanded Satan. "Worship the Lord your God and serve him alone," Jesus said. And here he was, accepting and acknowledging his disciples' worship. Because he is God. And on that open mountainside, not hiding away in a locked room, but openly, his deity was affirmed with an intentionality that his disciples would only recognise later. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." There is no higher mandate, no greater authority in heaven or earth than the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to earth on a rescue mission. He came to die for our sin in his place, to reconcile us to God and to give us eternal life. Those who believe in him, who trust and follow him, to him, to those he called, his family, his body, his bride, his church. Jesus had delegated his authority to those who follow him to invite others to join his church also. Many churches are instead driven by tradition or by personalities, by programs, buildings or events. The authority of the church does not lie in its pastors, its bishops, or clergy. It does not rest on our traditions. It does not lie with those with money and influence. It rests with Jesus Christ alone, as revealed in the scriptures. Deep in every Christian, there is an awareness that we are on this planet for purposes greater than having a career or paying the bills, loving our families or fulfilling our roles as good citizens, even if we faithfully obey the social distancing rules. Even meeting together on Sundays can sometimes leave us feeling that something is missing. After all, we'll worship God for eternity in heaven. We don't need to meet primarily to do that on Sundays. That's not our primary purpose for meeting. The Bible says worship is something we should do consciously, do in every moment of our lives. But there is one supreme role we can only fulfill while here on earth, and that will have eternal consequences. In the short time God has given us on earth, we can make an impact that will outlast us. Indeed, it will last for eternity. Jesus made it plain when he said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Jesus is placing the emphasis on his strategy, which is to make disciples. That was their primary task, disciple making. Everything else was subordinate. Notice what's not mentioned. No church buildings or cathedrals. No, they're not mentioned. Appointing pastors or deacons, or religious ministers, or regional ministers even. It's not mentioned. Founding denominations, missionary societies or charitable institutions. They're not mentioned either. These things may be useful. Some may even be essential to a mission infrastructure, but only insofar as they contribute to the ultimate objective, this priority, this strategy, making disciples who will replicate themselves. If these institutions, these buildings, these activities do not enable us, do not equip us to be better, more effective followers of Jesus Christ, then they become at best a luxury and at worst an impediment to our mission, and we should ditch them. So why then do we meet together on Sundays? We meet to learn how to be and make disciples of Jesus. All our activities, all our energies, all our time and our discussions, all our expenditure should be evaluated by this simple criteria. Does it assist us in fulfilling our Christ-given purpose? We have no mandate to engage in anything that does not help us fulfill this final great commission of Jesus, to assist people to become fully devoted followers of him. Jesus wants you and me to finish what he began. He will not ask you to do the impossible. Rather, he commissions us to act with his authority. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it expands on what Jesus said to his disciples that day. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." Essentially, Jesus was saying, if as you go about your daily life and business, make disciples. It should be a natural part of a Christian's life. As you go to work, make disciples. As you teach students, make disciples. As you have your hair cut, make disciples. As you make friends, make disciples. As you go out to eat, make disciples. as you go to the shops, make disciples. We don't need to go overseas to share the gospel. It should permeate everything we do, think, and say. There's a type of servant evangelism where we help people, make life a little easier and more pleasant for them. As we go to the shops, open doors for people, smile, appreciate people, be interested in them. And there's a social evangelism where you go out to do things. Perhaps you go to eat. Be nice to the waiter or the waitress. Make a point of thanking them. Be generous with your tips. Have and show grace. Don't be forever complaining, grumpy and fault-finding. If something isn't right, ask them to fix it, and then appreciate the effort they've made for you, even if they haven't done too well. There's also just simple talking to people, representing Jesus well, building relationships in the everyday things, and then you will have people's trust when you tell them about Jesus. And of course, there's invitational evangelism. Simply invite people to church. You don't need to quote the Bible or witness or have complex intellectual arguments. Simply say, come and see for yourself the person who changed my life. If we forget this, if we neglect this, if we ignore this, we lose our purpose and squander that ultimate authority with which Jesus sent us out. Before we end the message today, let us think about the church right now, in the middle of this global pandemic. I don't normally read the Guardian newspaper on a Saturday, but I was struck by an editorial piece last weekend about the philosopher Charles Taylor, who wrote an influential book called A Secular Age. Towards the end of that book, he wrote that while churches in the West have emptied at an accelerating rate in the 21st century, most of us still value their presence in our cities, towns and villages. Traditional places of worship are still cherished. Professor Taylor suggested that's because they act partly as a holder of ancestral memory, partly as a resource against some future need, for example, a rite of passage, like a funeral, or as a source of comfort and orientation in the face of some collective disaster. I don't know what kind of catastrophe he had in mind, but without doubt, the coronavirus pandemic counts as a collective disaster. But at least in a physical sense, our churches have found themselves unable to provide a space of refuge. Faith has been driven online, into the cloud, if you like, by the need for social distancing. With the pews empty, Easter weekend was like no other, both for regular churchgoers and for those who, in uniquely challenging times, may have been tempted to pay a visit to a church. The rites of passage to which Professor Taylor referred have been diminished to the point of being unrecognisable, stripped of the joys and consolations that come from communal witness. Guest lists for church weddings and baptisms have been torn up. Funerals have become heartbreaking, lonely affairs, with mourners limited at best to immediate family members. As churches celebrated Easter behind closed doors, there has been some concern in countries such as Britain that coronavirus might finish off the job that decades of Western secularisation began. Church attendance and observance of the great festivals can be a habit as well as an affirmation of faith. Habits, of course, once interrupted, are sometimes hard to resume. Perhaps the work done by people of faith in helping the homeless, running food banks, caring for the vulnerable in communities, and channeling vital aid overseas might give some hope that such fears are groundless. But you know, there is already evidence to suggest that in spite of closed doors, the church is playing a vital role and is needed more than ever. A recent study has found that as the pandemic spread last month, Google searches for the word prayer boomed across 75 countries, dwarfing anything previously seen in data going back to 2004. In Britain, online streaming of services from churches has generated virtual congregations far bigger than the numbers of those previously attending in person. Just look at the number of people viewing our services each Sunday. 625 views on Easter Sunday morning, and probably more than one person per viewing. Isolation seems to be breeding the opposite of spiritual apathy, and the opportunity and need to make disciples is as relevant today as ever before. The quote from 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20, "Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish?" Yes, Britain's Christians must play their part in helping this country through the ordeal. But far more than that, once again we see suffering has created the opportunity to transform lives for eternity. In the face of this pervasive disease, remember Jesus has been given all authority on heaven and earth. And with this authority, we are tasked with making disciples. My challenge to you this morning is, are you willing to take the opportunity of this catastrophe to turn it into life-saving opportunities for people to find new life in Jesus, to make an impact that will last for eternity? Matthew closes his gospel with the words of Jesus spoken with by the means of that authority of his alone. Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It is not so much that he goes with us, it is rather that we go with him. Jesus is not like the generals in the First World War, sending their troops off into perilous battle while remaining safely behind the lines. No, he goes with us to the very end of time with his authority and the power of his Spirit, making it possible for each one of us to deliver on the task he set us, to make disciples. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the authority you gave Jesus after his work here on earth was finished. May we go out each day with the authority of Jesus and in the power of your Spirit to make disciples. Guide us and strengthen us in these troubled days, that we may be ready to engage and guide those who are seeking to find faith and true life in you. In Jesus' name, Amen.